Unfortunately, I have other things to do.
So how do you act? Okay, I got high signs from the video people, the secretary, therefore I'll call this meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Gibson?
Here.
Commissioner Christie?
Here.
Commissioner Mauskow?
Here.
Commissioner Rappa?
Here.
Chairman Rose?
Here.
Now I'll ask we all please stand for a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on our agenda, and agendas are available in the back of the room as well as request to speak forms. And if you would like to speak, please fill them out and hand them to somebody at the end and they'll pass them over towards me. The next item is a appointment of a subcommittee to review the Planning Commission rules of procedure. We've had some things come up lately, find out that we may have a hole or two in our bylaws or... Who wants to be on that? And I was going to suggest Ms. Rappa, since she kind of got us into this.
Yeah. I'd be happy to.
Okay. And who else? Anybody else would like to? How about you, Gene?
Well, okay.
And, don't be so enthusiastic.
It's really, it's
useless. Is the commission in agreement with that?
That would be delightful.
Okay. That's it. Penny and Jean are now our official subcommittee, or I guess you're supposed to call them an ad hoc committee for rules of procedure, and you guys will get together and come back to us and bring us something on our agenda someday. And I believe our county council can work with you.
Yes, I'd be happy to.
All right, thanks. Next item is public comment. Now is the time for members of the public wishing to speak on anything that's not on today's agenda to submit a speaker slip and come forward. Seeing no one, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to us. I did have one thing, Mr. Hogue. I noticed the annual state conference of the California County Planning Commissioners Association is going to be October 28th and 29th. That's a Friday and Saturday, and you're probably already figuring out the Thursday beforehand is our meeting. And they tell us you can't park there, so driving is just about impossible. So I plan to take the train. I am going. And... for any other commissioners who haven't gone, Gene has gone most of the years that I've gone, found it very useful, very informative. It's the county planning commissioners, and they tend to have issues that we all can relate to. So is that going to get in the way of our Thursday meeting? Anyone want to speculate on that?
Where is it, Mr. Chairman?
San Diego.
Your second meeting of October is the 27th.
Which would be the day I would jump on the train and
right.
And
to
go
get
away.
Down to San Diego from here, you have to leave first thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
So you're not, anyone who attends will not be available for that meeting. We have almost a full meeting already, much of which is the Cambria-San Simeon plan. We also have four current planning items on the agenda. I guess what it boils down to is a question of how many commissioners are going to go and whether we'll have a quorum or not.
It does boil down to that, yes. Or is there alternative days? Or
well,
now is not the time to decide that. I bring it up. Maybe the other commissioners can talk to you and tell you their plans. I, for one, plan on going.
Okay.
And you can count to three. It looks like Gene's raising his hand.
Okay. Well, now we're down to a bare quorum.
Well, I would like to attend if possible.
Okay. If you're interested in attending, contact Lona, and Lona will work with me, and we'll make sure that you fill out the right forms, and we get you all set up that way and registered. The other issue on what do we do with the meeting, because it looks like now we're not going to have a quorum, is we're going to have to see when the room's available. And I'm just not aware of what the room reservations are here. We'll just have to check that out, or Lona will check it out. And obviously we don't want to shift to the Friday. The question is that if Wednesday is available, would you want to meet a full day before you leave the next day? But we can work that out through individual conversations and then report back at the next meeting. Oh. Well, Mr. Euphrat is really prepared. Dates that this room is available in October will include the 6th and the 7th, but that's before your first meeting of the month, so I don't think that's practical. The 21st is available. Now, that means a week and a day in between meetings, which is tough on commission staff, but it can be done. So that's a possibility, as October 21st. But rather than setting the date now, let's check it all out and get you folks signed up. And
is there any reason why attendees couldn't perhaps fly down in the evening or drive private cars in the evening and thus make the
that's always an option available
scheduled meeting?
The private car option, we were told at last year's meeting not to take our cars because parking is problematic. Of course.
The same location?
Yes. No, it's not the same place, but they told us that this Embassy Suites hotel downtown has no room. And if you do find the room, it's extremely expensive. Of course, we're all interested in taking mass transit.
Or carpooling.
Or carpooling and things like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If flights are available in the evening, that would be fine with me on Thursday.
I think rather than taking up more time trying to make precise travel arrangements, let's talk about it individually with the three of you and Lona and I, and we'll work something out. There's a variety of choices that we have. Then at the next meeting, we'll have a clearer picture, and we can decide whether we need to or how we need to adjust the second meeting in October. But we don't want to lose that meeting entirely because we just have way too much business.
I understand.
Coming through.
Okay. We got a planning staff update?
Well, actually, that's a good segue. I guess I should tell the watching and listening audience that I'm Warren Hogue from the Department of Planning and Building. And at the last meeting, I told your commission that I would report back on two things. One is, where are we with the schedule of study sessions that your commission identified you would like to tackle at your meeting on March 10th? And I went back and looked at that list. And the good news is that we've actually done several of these things already. The next priority items that are up next include the dark sky standards, and the hope was to do that within 6 months. We're now targeting January or February for that. The water retention program or study session, that was, again, a six-month time frame, and we need to work with Public Works on that, and I haven't had a conversation with Richard Marshall on this yet, but I will, and I would say tentatively we're probably looking at February on that. The environmental review process, our feeling was, and I'll get into this more in the next topic, was that maybe that's best handled as part of the retreat that we're trying to schedule for your Planning Commission to allow a more in-depth discussion. And then fire safety standards, CDF was going to do that, but that was going to be within 1 year. So we're still on target for that, and we'll be talking to Rob Lewin about when he thinks he can do that. The trails maintenance and operation costs, again, that was a longer-term priority within 1 year, so we have room to accommodate that schedule. Apartment conversions, that was one that we think we can probably get done before the end of the calendar year, assuming that we continue to have some space on the docket for the December meeting. We'll talk to Dana Lilly about that one, but we hope to bring that one forward. The shortest-term one that we haven't done yet was we were going to report back to you on what the state law is and what the county's process is for handling general plan conformity reports. That's one I'm going to take the lead on, although Tim Smith, the Public Works right-of-way agent, wants to participate also. And my tentative plan at this point is to bring, as long as we continue to have room on the docket, is to bring that to you on November 10th. So that's the schedule of study sessions that the commission has previously directed us to start working toward.
And, Warren, in that general plan conformity report, is the Ag Commissioner's Office going to be involved in that with their review of the land use issues? And would it be appropriate, I guess?
We can certainly tell them there may be an interest if they participate in the discussion, but they don't normally play a formal role in reviewing our general plan for conformity reports.
Okay. Different from their comments regarding whether they support or don't support particular
projects.
Now,
naturally, one of the things we look at when we do a general plan conformity report is the agriculture and open space element, and they're also responsible, along with the planning department, for implementing the agricultural part. That's really just one piece of the puzzle on the whole conformity report process, and I wanted to emphasize that I was going to concentrate on the process.
Okay.
But if you'd like us to invite the Ag Commissioner to be present at that study session, we can certainly do that.
If they're amenable and you think there's a role for them, that would be great.
Then the next topic I was going to go to, and one that we've referred to in past meetings and I just referred to a moment ago, is the we're trying to set up a retreat with your planning commission so we can discuss a variety of items that we don't typically seem to find the time to do during the regular press of business. And what I wanted to hand out is a calendar. It's actually a blank calendar for October, November, and December. And I've already taken the liberty of putting down holidays and regular planning commission meetings because those are givens. And I was hoping that maybe each of the individual commissioners could kind of put down what dates don't work for them, if you have scheduled vacations or other commitments, so that we can then start to finalize arrangements. We're envisioning something that would be most of the day, maybe like a 10 to 3 time period at a site other than this room. Possibilities include meeting facilities in the immediate area, not outside San Luis Obispo, greater San Luis Obispo area. The some of the things that, we'll talk more as we get closer. Once we get the date and we get the room, then we can start talking about what will actually be on the agenda. But we're envisioning, based on prior conversations with your commission, that this would provide an opportunity, hopefully, for your new subcommittee on the rules of procedures to make a report and have a discussion with the rest of the commission. We'll be talking about staff report preparation issues and protocols on viewing sites that has come up in prior conversations with your commission. Streamlining that we've been working on and further ideas for that. How to implement smart growth principles, and then, of course, the ongoing hot topic of implementing the housing element and its programs. Those are some of the things that we've heard could be on the agenda. We'll continue to work with you on that. But if you could let us know what works for you, and if you have a preference for not having the retreat during the same week as a regular meeting, if you have a preference for the end of the week rather than the beginning of the week, that would be helpful to note on these sheets of paper, and then give that back to either me or to Lona, and we'll try to schedule something and get back to you on when that will be. John, did you have anything to add on the retreat? Okay. I believe that does it for me for staff updates. I don't know if Mr. Nall or Mr. Jansen have any staff updates as well.
Questions for staff? Seeing none, let's move on to our public hearings. What's up first, Madam Secretary?
Item 1 is a continued hearing to consider a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to, number 1, update and amend the Cambria and San Simeon Acres Community Plan portions of the North Coast Area Plan, number 2, to amend the Cambria Design Plan, and number 3, amend the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance. County File Number LRP 2004-00024, Supervisorial District 2, Martha Nieder, Project Manager.
Thank you, Commissioners. Martha Nieder, County Planning. With me today, I have Tom Christian of the North Coast Advisory Council Land Use Committee, should you have questions for him and of what the council's position on the plan is. The packets handed out to you today include comment letters that have been received on the plan, which were not available prior to preparation of the staff report package. They also contain the revised chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6, which your commission took tentative action on at the August 10th and 11th hearings. Today we're starting with Chapter 7, which is a very large chapter, and in order to break it down into more palatable sections, I thought we'd start with reviewing pages 1 through 18, and this includes the combining designation standard sections and starts the community-wide standards, and thought we'd take a break after reviewing community-wide standard number 2, which I believe the majority of the people in the audience are here to comment on. The combining designation standards target 4 main topics. The first is point source discharges, which none are allowed except for the exceptions detailed in the standards. The second main issue area is the Monterey Pine Forest habitat, and these standards are aimed at minimizing tree removal and impacts to the forest. The fourth section is flood hazard areas, and these standards include some that specifically address Santa Rosa Creek. And one change your commission may consider is on page 712, standard 4B is redundant, basically redundant, with the standard number 3 on page 711.
Oh, okay, I'm having trouble with the pages already here because we got the original thing, and you got a lot of comments on that, some of which were, you know, no-brainer typo things, which you've corrected, and then you're so kind as to give us a new thing, a new Chapter 7, which you had made all those simple, non-controversial typo changes. So now I have page, you know, 719, and I got another page 719, and they're not the same thing. So I found that a little tricky when I was going through the all the letters from people, and they would say on page 718, and they'd have an issue, and I'd go to 718 here, find it, and then I'd go and here and find it again. So which numbers are you going to use today?
Right, and I apologize. Thanks for bringing that up. The page numbers I'm referring to are the revised page numbers in Chapter 7, and there are some copies available down in front alongside for people who don't have copies already.
And I wonder if I could get a copy. For some reason, I'm not blessed with a revised Chapter 7.
That would go
Mr.
for
Chairman,
me as well.
I have another question on the revised that we got. Some pages didn't have any changes. I was wondering why.
Because with the revisions, it pushed some page numbers. So I thought it would be easier for understanding just to have a complete Chapter 7, completely revised Chapter 7.
Yeah, but then there's missing pages. I don't have all the revised pages. So.
He must not like you, Gene. They're always missing pages on you.
Do you have one?
I think so. I think I have all the pages.
Are all the pages in there?
I believe so. Well,
mine goes from 7-2 to 7-7. Yes. Or no, 7.
Ms. Christie, you don't have a new one?
I don't, and all of my comments are on the original. Thanks, John. All of my comments are on my original pages, so
okay, thank you.
Just have to sort of figure it out as well.
You're going to need even more desk space, won't you?
that's what I have.
Yeah, see, I didn't get that.
I apologize, and we can, I guess, work off both. Or
this one has notes in it. Is it? Are you given?
Sorry, that's the only copy I have. So
I mean, you don't need this?
No, you can ignore those.
All right.
You got the good stuff, Gene.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't share those.
The inside.
Yeah, don't put out our personal notes there. Now, where were you?
Sorry. And then finally, in the combining designation standard, there's a historic preservation standard.
Ms. Nieder, excuse me. The redundant part.
Yeah, thank you.
Whatever page you were on, whatever section you were referencing.
In your packet, the revised Chapter 7.
Yes.
On page 711, number 3.
The flood hazards.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Is redundant to number 4B?
Right.
So what is your recommendation?
So which goes?
That you could delete 4B.
So I guess the key is, rather than focusing so much on page numbers, we need to focus on 4B and that sort of thing.
Correct. And I'll bring it up on the screen so people could follow along the screen.
And which one we have on the screen, the new or the old?
The new.
Okay.
And then the combining designation section concludes with a standard on historic preservation, which was in the Cambria design plan, and it's proposed to move into this section so that all of the standards related to combining designations are in one place.
So the historic preservation is a combining designation.
Correct.
And one other that I didn't see in here and I see reference to is there a visitor serving or visitor overlay that should be a combining designation with its own standards, or is that something separate?
It is a combining designation with specific standards. Those standards are in the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance. There's none specific to the area plan.
And then one other issue we had visited in an earlier chapter was the question of a scenic resources combining designation or overlay. And I forget what it is we actually decided to do, but we did decide to do it in Chapter 7. So should there be a combining designation for
Countywide growth management ordinance. There are some comments that are in favor of codifying the 1%, which includes a letter from the North Coast Advisory Council restating their support of it, and the comments in favor of the 1% growth rate maintain that is essential given water supply and other resource constraints, as well as the necessity of protecting the character of the community. That concludes staff's comments on, I'd say, combining designation standards and community-wide standards 1 and 2. And I'll turn it back to your commission.
And I have a bunch of speaker slips for obviously, what you just mentioned, but also for track 226. But that's not here. That's coming later.
Correct. That's later in the chapter.
Okay. Commissioners, questions? So we usually ask for general comments prior to getting into the comments for what we're going to cover today, which usually included some people who had concerns about the 1% issue. So is there anyone who wants to speak to anything not in Chapter 7? Okay. Harry, you had two slips in, but I gather you. Okay, now this is not about Chapter 7. This is not about 1%. This is not about Track 226.
Is this an appropriate time to comment on? I was at the hearings on the 10th and 11th. I have a couple comments on what was said at those hearings.
Be appropriate.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Harry McLaughlin. I live in Westminster, California. I'm a lot owner, Kerwin Street in Cambria, for the past 13 years. On the 11th, I believe staff recommended that the county not wait for CCSD's build-out reduction study and subsequent plan prior to arriving at their own build-out calculations. I believe that this is ill-advised and supports their willingness to proceed in a somewhat arbitrary fashion. Decisions made on arbitrary build-out calculations that will affect the county and specifically Cambria for the next 20 years deserve to include specific information such as will be provided by the CCSD study within the next 2 months. I consider it to be the county's duty to include this information and prior to making any decisions on limiting growth. Another item, several speakers, and including two Planning Commission members, specifically asked county staff what will happen to those on the county water wait list. Is the county still accepting owners on this wait list? Is the county still accepting money to reserve positions on this wait list? These questions remain unanswered. Will the county address these questions? Third comment I have is a commissioner made a comment that lot owners were essentially speculators who must live with their ill-advised decision, and I believe that that comment was off base and untrue. When we bought our lot at competitive market rate and gave the CCSD a $5,000 deposit, the growth rate was 2.3%. There was no moratorium. All existing regulations and growth management planning indicated that we would eventually be legally able to build on our lot. That was our legal expectation then, and that is our legal expectation now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Not for Chapter 7? Okay. Then I'll open up a public comment. And I got several speaker slips, so we ask that we be efficient here. You got 3 minutes. I'll call two speakers. One go to this one, one go to the other one. And we'll start with Gary Ellington and followed by Karen Harris. So, Gary, you're up, and Karen, you're getting ready.
Good morning. I own a lot in Cambria. This morning I left at 4 o'clock.
State your name, please.
Oh, Gary Ellington.
That's it. Go on.
Ready? I have a lot in Cambria, and I left this morning at 4 o'clock to come over because I'm tired of being discriminated against. I pay taxes. The 2.5% when I bought the property was in effect. I don't understand why it went to 1% in the first place. I paid a lot of money for a CCSD number that would match the time that I would retire. When it was reduced to 1%, what it caused was I could have built, I would be living in the home right now, but because when it was changed to 1%, I still have a vacant lot. Last year, I had to pay $7,000 to improve.
As some other people, but on a personal note, I bought my lot many years ago, before there was a wait list, before there was the list was closed. I paid market value. I intended that I could use it in the method, the manner that it was intended to be used, which is zone 4, which is a single-family home. And my point is that I think we should be entitled to use it the way it was intended and given the same rights and restrictions as anybody else in the county that buys property and has that expectation. So, thank you.
Thank you. Daryl Robinson, followed by Sharon Ellington.
Hi, I'm Daryl Robinson. I'm from Huntington Beach, and I'm president of United Lot Owners of Cambria. And as such, I'm speaking on behalf of all of the lot owners. I have two big issues with Chapter 7. One is the growth rate. The other is the GSA restrictions. We lot owners are not speculators. We're not speculators any more than any other California home buyer. I'm sure that the homes that all of you live in have increased in value quite a bit, and you wouldn't expect to have to give away any of that value to somebody that says you don't have a right to it. As Karen just said, we want to use our lots for their use that has been approved since early in the last century. We're not asking for any changes. We understand that there can be resource constraints that can impact that, and that can always be discussed and debated. But if the constraints are removed or can be mitigated, then the restrictions should be removed. It's very simple. So what I'm asking you today is to allow the 1% deferred growth in allocations to continue as long as the CCSD moratorium is in place, which means effectively we do have zero growth right now for the foreseeable future. But when the water supply constraints are removed, because the CCSD gets a water project built, then go back to allowing 2.3% to be reduced annually if the Board of Supervisors see fit. So if there's another resource constraint in the future after there's plenty of water, then we can talk about that at that time. And as for the GSA restrictions, they're really too small to allow for a modern home on the typical lot in Cambria. It's going to result in homes that are smaller than the typical home in Cambria now, and that's going to result in excessive driveway and street parking because people over the long term end up using their garages for storage and living area. And so I want to ask you today to do two things about that. Allow us to have basements that are excluded from GSA so that we can have some storage space in our homes. And measure the GSA to the inside face of wall, not the outside. And then also allow some additional ways to get increased square footage up to a reasonable limit by other off-site mitigations, whether it be additional TDC credits or other things that you might think of that would benefit the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sharon Ellington, followed by Alan Peckman.
Morning. My name's Sharon Ellington. I live in Bakersfield right now, and I have a lot in Cambria. And when we bought our house, we weren't duped by anybody. We weren't deceived by a real estate owner. And honestly, I cannot afford to speculate with that amount of money whether I'm going to get to build or not. I spent that money because I expected that someday I would. The rule at that time was that I could, and I don't understand why anyone would think that it was fair to change those rules midstream. And that's all I'm asking, is that you give us the same treatment as everybody else and that the growth rate for us is the same as everybody else who pays taxes. I pay taxes. I've improved the roads. You know, I came to Cambria a long, long time ago with my grandparents. I had two sets of grandparents that lived here when I was 8 or 9 years old. That was in the late 50s. And in the 45 years since then, a lot of people have built houses in Cambria, and I can guarantee you the character hasn't changed. If it had, nobody would come there. And every weekend, every day during the summer, that place is full of tourists because it is a lovely place. And all the houses that have been there, built there and during that time have not changed that character. So I ask you to please treat us the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Peckman, followed by David Johnson.
My name is Alan Peckman. I live in Manhattan Beach, California. I own a lot on Drake Street and the Marine Terrace. I'm going to read from our letter here. In 1975, when I first visited the state of California during summer break from college in the East, I drove through Cambria and I dreamed that one day I would make my home there. Finally, in 1997, many years later, and now living and working in Southern California, I purchased a lot in Drake Street in Cambria. I was then 41. I planned on building a modest home in that site and one day retire in Cambria. I did not buy that land as a speculator. I did not buy that land with the thought of selling it during my lifetime. I bought it for the same reason that you all bought your home, and that was to live in it. I bought it also with the knowledge that there wouldn't have been a county list for future building. The lot owners on buildable parcels, as defined as when they bought them, should have the right to build in a reasonable period of time. The proposed growth rate of 1% is onerous to the lot owners who pay their taxes and bought with the idea that they could build in some reasonable time period. I'm not a lawyer. I've never been sued. I've never sued anybody. However, I'm sure that there is somebody somewhere on this list that's not going to like to have their property rights essentially taken away from them, which is going to increase litigation for everybody involved. In short, I urge you to support the current growth rate of 2.3% so that I might live in my future house as you are currently living in yours. The growth rate that was in place when I bought the home should be maintained. Thank you.
Thank you. David Johnson, followed by Linda Johnson.
My name is David Johnson. I live, my lot is at 2098 Emmons Road in Cambria. This commission, as I see it, has four overall categories to deal with concerning the plan update. Number one, is codification of a 1% growth rate appropriate for Cambria that will be in effect for 20 years? And to say or suggest that it won't be in effect for 20 years is to ignore the present plan that's been in place since 1988. Number two, the county has 350 people on a building permit allocation list, which continues to grow even today. Holds their money and collects taxes, yet nowhere in this plan does the county address how these or the few thousand other lot owners find may fit into the development plans for their property. Private property is an essential tenet of this democracy. Not dealing fairly with property owners would be wholly un-American, to pull the patriotism thing into it. Number three, a concise, real-life number of permittable lots must be known for a certainty before any plan can be considered that's going to be in effect for 20 years. At this time, no such number exists. Number four, the plan update must not by design adopt such confining and unrealistic standards such as tree and vegetation removal or square footage structural amounts as to make building one's home unachievable. Presently, to most observers, this is the objective of the update plan. County government should always act with the citizens' best interests and their legal standing in mind. They should remain above the political fray. The very word planning and planning commission evokes the idea of looking into the future to what will and should be the community, not confirming the narrow view of a few that believe that they can create a community in their own image, at the exclusion of those arriving on a different timetable, but still having just as much right to be included. Be that planning commission, and be that planning commission now.
Thank you. Linda Johnson, and the next several speakers, excuse me, I have listed track 226 as their issue, so with your okay, I'll put your slips for later, and that would be Roland Sushi. Is that okay? And Barbara Shippey, that's okay. And Iona Sushi, that's okay. R. Youngman, that's okay. And then we get to, and I have your slips for later, Tom Lagerquist. Linda?
My name is Linda Johnson, and I own property at 2098 Emmons Road. Just to give you an idea, we drive 5 hours one way to come to these meetings, and we have been to all of them but one because of illness. We are ordinary, hardworking people. I work for a U.S. airliner, and my husband works for the city of Anaheim. Sorry if I'm getting emotional. We thought we had made a good investment when we bought what we had, with what little we had. Before we purchased our lot on the county list, we decided to call the county to find out just how the county list was to be handled. They explained that they had a legal responsibility, and as the CCSD list was being used, we would roll onto it. I know most of you want the lack of knowledge and responsibility of giving the right information to the realtor. But this information was given to us by the county building department that holds our permit allocation fee. So misinformation to buyers comes from all sources. But ultimately, I feel the county has a responsibility for the growth rate, not the CCSD. We want to be good neighbors, but the beauty of our lots are being ruined by the disease of the pine trees that are being removed. We want to be encouraged to plant a disease-resistant strain of pine tree, but that is not in this plan. This plan discourages us from planting any additional trees because it reduces the size of buildable space to be unaccommodating of a normal home. I feel it is the county's responsibility to keep the 2.3% growth rate for the Cambria community consistent with the rest of the county. The county has never...
Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Tom Lagerquist. I own a lot on Trenton Avenue on Lodge Hill. In 2000, I was seeking to come back to the coast. I'm originally from Santa Barbara, actually Isla Vista, if you can believe that. And so I looked hard to find a lot that was consistent with my views as a professional planner and environmental consultant. I was not looking for a place that was on a ranch that was being converted or looking for a rezone or anything like that. I purchased a lot that was zoned residential, has a general plan or LCP designation for residential, is served by public services, and is in an existing established neighborhood. To me as a planner, that's an efficient use of the land, and that's what I was looking for. But why then are all these entitlements that are already granted and the people with existing homes are enjoying, why are those not sufficient for us to build a modest home in Cambria? I feel like the lot owners are treated like an infectious disease to be combated by all manner of mechanisms to keep us out. And I think if you look at the people that have come before me here at this podium, you'll see that we're regular people. A lot of people have basically missed their retirement dreams because of these hang-ups for what is otherwise legally zoned property. Getting back to planning matters, nowhere has a 1% growth rate been determined to be a necessary measure to mitigate any significant adverse environmental or land use impact. It seems to me to be just a prejudicial, punitive measure rather than a mitigative measure. There, I've not seen any analysis that shows that 1% versus 2.3 is somehow going to magically help schools or prevent impacts to schools or services or environmental resources. And again, I don't want to get too off base here, but we want to make sure that we don't engage in bigotry, which is one group enjoying the same rights while denies those same rights to another group. We have that going on here somewhat. I do want to say that I appreciate all the work the staff and the commission have done and the North Coast Committee. I think they've done a good job and really dug into the issues. But at the same time, I think there's been a lack of nexus to the planning laws as they currently exist and to the county's own land use policies. So my recommendation is to maintain a 2.3% growth rate consistent with countywide policy, and I support what Mr. Robinson said in that regard as far as the flexibility that affords you. Real quickly, on the lot size, the gross structural area, we need to provide quality housing in Cambria. The measuring to the outside of the wall will completely preclude green building methods such as rammed earth, straw bale, and structural insulated panels. Those require thicker walls. You can't do that if you're measuring to the outside of the wall. In short, we're asking for a modest three-bedroom, two-bath home where we can keep storage inside instead of out on the street. Thank you very much. I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you.
For Mr. Lutterquist, your last comment about rammed earth and straw bale homes, I was actually looking for something else in the plan pertaining to something you said earlier. Where can you direct us to the page where you're talking about the outside measurement to the walls and where we might address that?
Table 7-1.
Table 7-1. Thank you.
Which I don't think we're covering just yet. Am I right, Ms. Nieder?
Right. We'll get to that later in the chapter.
Okay.
I just want to flag it. Thank you.
Okay, Will, thank you very much. You. Will Washburn, followed by Craig Smith.
My name is Will Washburn, and we live in Santa Maria. My wife, Linda, and I purchased our Cambria home site 28 years ago in 1977. We are not speculators. We have faithfully paid taxes on this property. Here are the 1999, 2000, and 2002, 2003 secured tax bills from SLO County Tax Collector Frank Freitas that have been mailed to us over these 28 years. We have collected and paid lots of these bills, but still cannot build on our land. Many hundreds of us have paid a lot of taxes on property that we cannot build on. Our collective tax monies represent a huge subsidy to the residents of Cambria, worth many millions of dollars in 2005 dollars over the years, spent on schools, sewers, roads, libraries. We understand what that's all about. Last month, we received a letter from our potential neighbors, if we can get the build, George and Laura Shano. This is their letters and their envelope. That was last month. They are spearheading a campaign to put the utility poles and lines underground, as has been done, and that has been directed based upon their information in another area of our neighborhood. If they get a simple majority of 51%, they estimate that we will be forced to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 to do this, us, that people that can't build. This will be another tax. They said that it can either be paid as a lump sum or over 10 or 20 years through taxes, because this is another tax. That's basically what it is. It is a tax with taxation without representation, because we will not be...
Oh, do you want me to wait?
Well, you can do anything you want, but it'll be more timely when we're going to discuss that matter.
Which may not be today, correct?
Okay, then I won't address square footage. I'll just address
the items that have been addressed. Again, my name is Craig Smith, and I live in La Crescenta, California. I own a lot in Cambria that I purchased in 1986, and at that time got on the CCSD list and paid the $5,000. Next year, that will be 20 years that I've owned this piece of property, have done the weed abatement, the taxes, the car removals, the abandoned cars on my piece of property. I believe that the county should take the 2.3 back as long as we find a source of water, which is what the CCSD is supposed to be working on and accomplishing. And at that time, I think the Cambria should be in the same growth rate as the rest of San Luis Obispo County. I don't understand why it should be different than other locations in San Luis Obispo County. The other thing that I would like to mention is I can't see in this plan overall anywhere where it gets to the bottom of the issue of the true build-out of how many lots there really are that can be built and how many that Cambria can support, and then is there a true lot reduction plan in this plan? Those are the main items I want to discuss, and square footage I'd like to address then when that comes up.
You bet. And next speaker, Harry McLaughlin, followed by Greg Sanders.
My name is Harry McLaughlin. I'm from Westminster, California. I own a lot on Kerwin in Marine Terrace. I'd like to address Chapter 7-2, Growth Management Allocation of Residential Permits. The rest of San Luis Obispo County has a growth rate of 2.3%. It is unjust to punish Cambria lot owners with a growth rate much lower than that of the rest of the county. There already is a system in place in the current growth management ordinance for reassessing available resources annually and resetting the following year's growth rate accordingly. There is subsequently no need for the local planning commission to state any permanent rate in its area planning standards. It is also unwise to set an arbitrary rate based on calculations that do not include the upcoming CSD build-out and study results. In the interest of fairness and justice, I urge you to leave the existing mechanism in place and drop the proposed inclusion of a suppressed arbitrary annual growth rate of 1%. I'd like to address item 7B. What will happen to the permits accumulated during the moratorium? I believe that if the moratorium lasts 5 years, then 5 years of permits should be issued if the moratorium is lifted in year six. It would be unfair and unjust to do otherwise. I'd also like you to look closely at the issue of affordable housing. I believe there's a line in 7B where the CCSD can divert allocating residential permits in favor of affordable housing. I'd like some clarification on that. Is there a certain percentage allocated for affordable housing that does not affect the permit allocations for the residential? I'd like to address Table 7A. It seems current lot owners will be paying the price for the orgiastic building of monster spec houses that were formerly allowed by the county. I can see the need for some revisions, but the allowable structural areas are too small for a modern home. Transfer development credits are a great idea. I agree with Darrell's comment that not counting garages or basements as part of the GSA and allowing basements for storage area. I am also in disagreement with the handling of the forested lot issue. There should be alternatives to mitigate the impacts of building on a lot that might contain 1/6-inch Monterey pine, which may or may not be disturbed during construction. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg Sanders, followed by Baron Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Greg Sanders, I'm the president of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors. You have to excuse me. I woke up with a frog in my throat this morning and can't seem to shake it. I was last here on August the 10th when you were covering other chapters of the plan, and I was very remiss in failing to extend the district's thanks to your staff, particularly John Hofschauer, Martha Nieder, and John Ufrat. We started at a very wide divergence and seem to have significantly closed the gap. In that regard, there is still a ways to go as we see it, and we would strongly urge your commission to consider allow the growth rate to go back to the normal process, which involves the Board of Supervisors establishing the growth rate on an annual basis. I say that because when the moratorium is lifted, in order to effect lot reduction, lot retirement, there's a significant financial equation, and we think at this time that part of our connection fees for new houses coming online will be devoted to financing lot retirement. So there's a significant financial equation here that I think you need to take into consideration. We have with us today Tammy Rudock, our general manager, and Bob Gressens, the district engineer. I'll stay as long as I can. We have our board meeting early this afternoon. While we are here, we'll be available to serve as a resource for you. Thank you.
So I have a question.
Sure.
You said keep the 1% while you have the moratorium.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting a disconnect there. If you're not allowing anything, 1%, 10% is all meaningless, isn't it?
Well, the allocations accumulate while the moratorium is in effect. And under the terms of the coastal permits that we have that govern extractions of water from the two watersheds and our sewer treatment plant, we can issue up to 125 intent to serve letters in any 1 year. I anticipate that, again, consistent with the financial aspect of lot retirement, that we're going to want to issue as many intent to serve letters as we can the year the moratorium is lifted. Quite frankly, as a practical matter, I don't think there's enough contractors around to undertake constructing that many homes in 1 year, and so the pace of growth is probably going to be spread out anyway. But I urge you to consider the very significant financial aspects of this, especially in terms of our ability to finance lot retirement.
Thank you.
And could I ask, I realize you're being televised, but I won't hold you to this, in rough terms, the plan for the desalination plant being online, how long?
How many years?
Yeah.
Boy, I guess it depends upon your vantage point. I'm an optimist, and I think that we can do this in about 3 years. Now, it's a jigsaw puzzle. There are many variables. One variable is litigation, for example, and nobody can predict whether or not we're going to be sued and how long it will take to wind through the litigation before we're able to let a contract for construction of the facility. But I would say about 3 years.
And your limit on the 125 intent to serve letters is imposed by the federal EPA, is that?
By the Coastal Commission.
By the Coastal Commission, and that stays in place. I thought I'd seen at some point there was a expiration of that limitation.
No, as long as the permits are in effect for extraction of water from Santa Rosa Creek and San Simeon Creek, and as long as the sewer treatment plant is operating, then that limitation will remain in effect.
And so, Mr. Sanders, the one piece that you need to lift the moratorium is the construction of the desal plant, or is there some other occurrence that could cause you to lift the moratorium?
There are two pieces to the equation, Commissioner Christie. Number one is water storage. We have a deficiency in terms of water storage, principally as it relates to our ability to fight fires. We're addressing that now. We consider that to be the highest priority. The second part of the equation is solving the water supply problem. During drought periods, we have an insufficient supply of water as it stands now. So we've got to address the water supply problem, whether there's ever another house built in Cambria. Unless and until the water storage problem is solved and the water supply problem is solved, the moratorium will remain in place.
And the permits will continue to accrue at the rate, or your request is that the permits would continue to accrue at the rate of 1%.
That's right.
Until such time.
Correct.
Do you see any problems outside of the just your services district hat with having that much construction take place at one time in terms of, you know, traffic circulation or, you know, impacts on other services?
It's certainly possible, but our view is that there just aren't enough contractors available to bring all of these houses online at one time. The minor use permit process, the other processes that people have to go through in order to get from an intent to serve letter to a building permit is such that I think the construction in terms of allocations that are available from the county. So if it's kept at 1%, that's okay with us. But once the moratorium is lifted, we'd like to see the normal process take over.
And does the CSD recognize that that means an update of this plan and all the processes that we've gone through up until now?
Well, we think you can write into this plan the scenario that I just described. That is that it remain at 1% until the moratorium is lifted, and once the moratorium is lifted, that you revert back to your normal growth management process.
Okay, you didn't supply wording for that, though, correct?
We can if you would like.
Well, it's up to the rest of the commission. Okay, thank
sure.
you.
You bet.
And let me, if I could ask one more question. You speak in terms of the moratorium being lifted. Two parts to this. One, is that synonymous with the desalination plant being online? And number two, are there other constraints? It seems to me, I'm trying to refresh my memory, but are you constrained in the moratorium? Is that simply a CSD board action that has created the moratorium at this point? Are you under some external constraint from the Coastal Commission or something on this?
The answer is to your last question is yes, we are. The moratorium was declared by the board under Water Code 350 about 3.5 years ago or so. Under the rules that have evolved since the moratorium was lifted, no new construction can take place in Cambria unless there can be a showing that there's an offsetting water savings. So, in effect, the Coastal Commission is a partner with the district in the moratorium.
Having invoked Rule 350, you can't get out of it without either showing new supply or conservation.
That's correct.
You said the rules that have evolved since the moratorium was lifted?
No, was imposed. If I said lifted, I misspoke.
Okay, I was confused. So just to be clear, if I had the money to go purchase a water meter in Cambria today from somebody who has one and hasn't built, could I build a home tomorrow or not?
The moratorium exempted a number of equivalent dwelling units that were in the pipeline at the time the moratorium was imposed. And by the way, that was consistent with the Coastal Commission's recommendations in its periodic update. So it is possible to buy a position that is exempt from the moratorium, but those positions are becoming fewer and fewer. And in terms of residential positions, I believe that that list is just about exhausted.
Okay.
And I just want to clarify one thing in terms of having to update the plan again.
But we need to move on with our public comment.
Okay,
here.
But I just would like to clarify that we can check with staff. We can do an amendment to this, to the LCP, without doing a full update if it comes to changing the percentage growth rate. Is that correct?
John Euphrat, planning staff. Sure. I mean, but it is time consuming.
But it's not
a bit expensive.
Update of the whole plan.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Baron Cohen, followed by Patricia Cohen.
Commissioners and staff, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Baron Cohen. I live in Huntington Beach presently with my wife. We purchased a piece of property or lot on Bradford Place in Cambria in 1989 with the anticipation that we'd be able to build sometime around our retirement, which was, for me, last year. Now that's about 14 years, 15, going on 15 years. We thought we would be able to build. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond anybody's control, we stand where we are today with no building. However, I simply would like to both concur with Daryl Robinson and Tom Lauterquist's comments, and I strongly feel that the 2.3% future building growth is, I think, within the county's ability to do, and feel that you should maintain that once our the moratorium has been lifted. I see no reason why it can't be. And I pray every day that every winter Cambria will have a lot of rain so we could move on with this issue. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Patricia Conan, followed by Norman Palmer. And you've got East West zoning. That's going to come up later. So with your okay, you will wait on that. I'll slip you in the pile for that. Then it'll be followed by Bill Warren. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Patricia Conan. I live in Huntington Beach. If we had our lot purchase had gone as planned, we would be living in Cambria right now. We bought a lot there on Bradford Place.
Advisory Council or one of their committees for the last 14 or 15 years. In that, I'm speaking as an individual now, not with the other areas. Anyway, in the last 14 years, the Advisory Council has taken a position on a maximum cap on their population four times in the last 14 years, and every time it's been 8,000 at 500 maximum. And at least three of those four votes were unanimous. I'm not sure about the last one, but I think it might have been unanimous also, but the previous three were unanimous. The CCSD has a recommendation of 4,650 connections, which is commensurate with the 8,500 maximum population. So, by and large, they're one and the same. Anyway, the CCSD and the North Coast Advisory Council are the only two publicly elected offices concerns in Cambria, and they do a very good job, I think, of representing the community. So I hope you would take their recommendations into heart when you make your decisions. I do have a letter here from Bill Allen, who wasn't able to be here today, and there's copies here for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. John McCary, followed by Wayne Ryburn.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the Commission. My name is John McGarry. I'm a resident of Cambria, California. And my comment is probably more in line with a question. And the question that I have is, will the Planning Commission review any part of the CCSD's completed master water plan? And if, in fact, staff does that, what will they be looking for? And finally, will they be issuing some sort of a report for public review or comment? Thank you.
Thank you. Wayne Ryburn, followed by Tammy Rudock. And Wayne, you got two speaker slips. I'm going to put one for the later issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Wayne Ryburn. I'm a resident of Cambria. I'm representing the North Coast Alliance today. And the first thing I'd like to do is clarify the 1% growth rate, because there's so much confusion spinning around this. This was set in 1999 by the Board of Supervisors. It's been reviewed annually each year and kept at 1% based on the lack of water and other resources. It's not something the planning staff pulled out of the air and put in the plan for you. We believe, as Mr. Robinson from the Lot Owners Association and the president of the CCSD, that 1% should remain in the plan until the desal plant is online, the CCSD's moratorium is lifted. Then it could revert by law back to the Board of Supervisors, who would review it each year in December as part of their resource management system. So if you put that in your plan, you wouldn't have to come back later and make a modification to it. You could do that at any part of this process. Tied in with that is the difference between the projections for water hookups in Cambria between what staff has recommended in the plan and what the CCSD has put in their water master plan. That's 325 more connections as projected by county staff. That doesn't sound like much until you look at the water wait list. That's about 50% more connections that are currently on the water wait list today. So it's going to have an impact. The county has justified it, the 325 additional water hookups, by saying there would be no environmental impact between it and what the CCSD is projecting. We feel that is very erroneous. Just briefly, when you look at the impact in our mind, it would be water demand, wastewater demand, traffic congestion, air pollution, noise pollution, increased fire danger in a pine forest, increased habitat degradation, and increased impacts on our already deficient infrastructure, which is mainly substandard roads that are unpaved and too narrow to build on or to get fire trucks or emergency vehicles in. So, briefly, 1% growth rate agreed by the lot owners and the CCSD and our group that represents the community, and to keep that growth rate where the CCSD feels they can handle it with their new desal plant. So thank you. I hope that sorts it out a little bit for you.
Thank you. Tammy Ruduck, followed by James Wilson. But, Mr. Wilson, you have zoning of the mid-state portion of the East-West Ranch, so I'll save that for later if that's okay. Then it'd be Joy Fitzhugh. You going to weigh in on this issues? All right. Tammy?
Thank you. Tammy Ruduck, general manager to the East Ranch portion, does need to be changed as well. And John Ufrat made a comment at the last meeting that I was at about the potential for the county maybe being the lead agency for a desalination project. And it's not that it's a misstatement, but at this point we don't know who the lead agency is going to be. So I just want to make sure that that is publicly known, that we will be working together, of course, with the county and a bunch of other agencies for that project. But at this point we don't know that it will be Slo County. Thank you.
Thank you. Joy Fitzhugh, followed by Lynn Christie.
Good morning, Joy Fitzhugh, San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau, and also a resident on the perimeter of Cambria. I apologize to Martha. I did not get these notes to her ahead of time because we were just, so many issues are coming up in this county at this point that I just got done formalizing them last night. But the very first thing in Chapter 7 that I noticed, it talks about the chapter contains special standards for the North Coast planning area. I want to be sure that this is recognized as the Cambria and San Simeon communities of the North Coast planning area. I realize that the exterior of the document says Cambria and San Simeon community, but I don't want to see in the middle of the document suddenly this thing becomes a complete North Coast planning area document. And the same thing follows with the chapter organizations on 7.2, where I think we need to make sure that it does not relate to the rural area. It has A, says rural area standards, but then you go back to 7.5, and it says the rural area is not part of this plan update. So I think we need to be a little consistent here and be sure that we aren't talking about the rural area. And apropos to that, what is now page 712, which when in the original document was 713, talks about all new development must be set back 100 feet from the upland edge of the riparian vegetation. Now, if this still relates to outside the urban reserve line, then our agricultural community, which may have wells that they want to put in, may be a real problem. Same thing goes with E. Then on 7, which is now 765, which is 762, which is erosion control and control of runoff, I want to express our appreciation because up to this time, if you are next to the Cambria urban area, especially in the south end of town, you look at the subdivisions and the builders were allowed to put pipes out to the edge of their property for runoff from their lots. that goes down a culvert. And in our particular instance, our own family's ranch has been greatly impacted because all this accumulation of water goes across through an insufficient culvert under Eaton Road and has actually forced us to have a sediment catch basin for the runoff from the community. So I think we really appreciate Martha putting that in, and I think it seriously needs implementing on the issue. So those are my comments for today, and thank you very much. I have one little tiny thing, since I got 6 seconds. You can almost always tell who's an old-timer, been born and raised in Cambria, because they say Cambria instead of Cambria.
I've noticed that, too. Lynn Christie, followed by Bob Horvath.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Lynn Christie from Cambria, and I'm here today to urge you to retain the 1% growth cap for Cambria. I'm speaking for many Cambrians. I belong to a lot of organizations, and I get out in the community a lot, and I'm a real good listener, and this is what I hear. It doesn't make sense to up the cap now to match the rest of the county. As you know, Cambria is a unique community cherished not only by its residents but by many people throughout the county and the state. We want to keep our rural lifestyle and to preserve the area where tourists in search of beauty and peace love to visit. You've been hearing a lot from the United Lot Owners of Cambria pushing for a 2.3 growth cap. And I'd like to inform Mr. Robinson, and I got his newsletter yesterday, and this is not the local coastal plan here. This is the North Coast area plan, right? I learned from the CCSD earlier this week that the water wait list in Cambria was started in 1986. All lot owners were notified by mail and warned that they needed to get on the list in order to build eventually. We had a little lot in Cambria at that time, and they told us it would be 9 years, so we gave up and sold the lot. The list was closed to additional applications in 1990, and the moratorium on building was mandated in 2000. There are currently 665 have to pay the price of increased growth caps and the inevitable development that follows. We're not slamming the door and saying, we're here, now everybody else keep out. We just want to keep our rural lifestyle and the tranquility of our little village. We want the reasonable and appropriate growth cap to remain as recommended by your county's planning staff. And, of course, the resource water isn't there, so there's no point in upping the cap as this time.
About ready to
okay.
Start, right, sir?
You can amend the local coastal plan and raise the rate later, if you like, as Mr. Freight said. It's
thank you.
Thank
Bob,
you.
Bob Horvath, followed by Alma Horvath.
My name is Bob Horvath. I live in Cypress, and we own a lot in Park Hill, which we've owned for 14 years. There's no fair or equitable basis at all for extending the more restrictive growth rate to Cambria versus the rest of the county. I'm not sure whether you think that the rest of the county is inappropriately growing, but apparently there's no reason given for Cambria to have a unique growth limit of 1%. The EIR doesn't provide any reasoning or analysis at all to explain why that 1% growth rate is in there in this plan, as opposed to the action taken by the Board of Supervisors earlier, which was purely based on the water situation. It really is simply a matter that some residents of Cambria want to keep the vacant property of lot owners as their own personal open space when they have no legal rights to the property and will use whatever means are possible to keep it that way as long as possible. To put it more bluntly, adopting the 1% growth rate supports the tyranny of the majority to take the property of the minority for selfish reasons that I think they should be embarrassed about. Let me speak about the gross structural area limits. For a typical lot, I believe they are also too small. After building a two-car garage, which should be encouraged in order to keep cars off the street, there remains a living space of 1,500 square feet or less. This was pretty typical size for homes that were built in the 1950s. I think that modern homes demand considerably more space and that these limits that you're adopting should reflect community standards. And I think if you studied the sizes of homes in Cambria as a basis, they need to have some reasonable basis for adopting it. But to me, the 2,000 square feet limits seem to be fairly arbitrary and not reflective of what's been built in Cambria already. I have another minute, and I'll speak to the second-story setbacks and second-story square footage limits. These seem to be very subjective attempts to legislate someone's personal vision of a good design. However, there are examples of appropriate design given in the plan itself, such as figures 735 and 736, which don't meet the new requirements that you've proposed. These examples come from an earlier version of the plan, and it kind of shows how arbitrary the requirements are and that they're not really appropriate for residential design to just try and build some sort of a cottage in your mind and say, we want these setbacks and smaller second-story footprints or second-story square footages. So I believe those requirements should be deleted. Thank you.
Thank you. Alma Horvath, followed by Richard Hawley.
Thank you. My name is Alma Horvath. I live in Cypress, California. My husband and I got up at 3:30 this morning to be here. Like other families, we make every attempt to get to these meetings to make sure that we get our point of view across. I respect Ms. Christie's comments, but I disagree with her completely. My husband and I have been coming to Canberra for many years. In 1991, after many years of visiting, we did do our homework. We went to the CSD office. We knew about the water wait list. We knew it was going to be several years. We got a high number. We anticipated to build in about 12, 15 years when we were ready to retire. We did all our homework. We did everything the right way. We followed the rules. Rules were in place. Regulations were in place. And we were following them. We've kept it up as other speakers. We've paid our taxes. We've done our weed abatement. We've done everything that's been asked of us. We've listened patiently. The rules were changed on us. In 1991, there was that 1% moratorium imposed. We did speak at that meeting, and that's what was agreed upon. We follow it. Again, the rules are being changed on us. We try to give you our comments as best as possible. There is various studies that were done. There were solutions that were reached that were not implemented. I think the hardest part for me is that as children, we're all taught to play by the rules, to follow the rules. And when someone changes the rules midway, we call it cheating. That's what we tell our children. You're cheating. And I...
By Mike Dill, and that's the last speaker slip I have.
My name is Richard Hawley. I'm a resident of Cambria. I want to go on record to say that we support the 1% growth cap. We do not support the accumulation of 1% per year while the moratorium is on. There's absolutely no consensus for that in the community. It's a misnomer. And in terms of after the moratorium is lifted, reverting back to a 2.3% growth cap, I think it's ridiculous to have maybe 1,500 acres be the receiver of that much development. I think a 1% is more reasonable. It keeps the door open for development. It's ordered, and it's paced. In terms of contractors available, if there was 125 housing starts in Cambria next month, there would be 125 contractors there. Was in the contracting business for over 20 years. I've been in Cambria for about 30. There's no shortage of contractors, and there's no shortage of workers to build houses. I would like to talk about the tree issue later if we're going to get into trees. So 1% is reasonable, and it's just. Putting the onus of 2.3% on 1,500 acres of Cambria is not just. We've taken that burden on for the past 20 years now, and I think the environment has paid a huge price for that. Going back to 1%, or limiting it to 1% is certainly reasonable. It has the chance for the community to catch up with the growth, and it's metered, and it leaves the door open, and it doesn't shut it for anyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Dill, and that's the last speaker.
My name is Mike Dill. I live in Paso Robles, and I'm a member also of Unlock. Throughout these meetings, we have continually heard how the growth rate is such a major issue. We have heard that the 1% rate would coincide with the 20-year plan you have before you. We also have heard from your staff how actually this plan should be updated and revised every 10 years. If that were the case with this plan, then the original 2.3% growth rate is more in line. I have a question I hope you will ask your staff. If this was such a major issue, then why was it never addressed in any of the preliminary reports? The permanent 1% rate was only added in the final draft. We have now been in a moratorium for 5 years and 9 months and will continue according to the CCSD until the desal plant is built. At that time, there is no reason to be limited to 1%. We should be allowed to be in line with the rest of the county at 2.3. This is not urban sprawl. It is lot fill-in. We purchased our land, not dry, but with a deposit for water and have a legal right to build. The reasoning behind all of this is the no-growth constituents in Cambria voiced their opinion, and your staff took it as the voice of the majority. I assure you they are not the majority, and the actions of the CCSD prove it. Now, as lot owners, we find ourselves trying to find someone to listen to reason and to make a fair and honest decision. I assure you all of the lot owners would be here today if it were possible. We ask you, do not let our requests fall on deaf ears. Take the growth rate issue out of this document and leave this decision to the county commissioners as it has been in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. The last speaker, anyone else? Going once, going twice. I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission for our morning break. Can we come back in 15, which would be 10:35.